Let's pray. And let's seek the Lord for the rest of the meeting. Seek his blessing upon the word. Ask him to take over and take control and have his way among his people in his tabernacle. Lord, we just look to you, Lord, this morning now, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you will be high and lifted up and glorified, Lord, in this your tabernacle, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the remembrance of you, Lord, around your table. And now, Lord, we come to your word. We come to hear from God, not flesh. And I just pray today, Lord, that flesh will be forgotten about and hidden away. I pray, Lord, that Christ will be high and lifted up, and your people, Lord, will be well fed. I ask it, Lord, in your wonderful name. Lord, take over, Lord. Take control. Do what you will, Lord, among your people. We ask it, Lord, in your wonderful name. Amen. I entitled the message this morning, A Bottle of Faith for the Faint. When you're fainting, you're handed a bottle of water. But it's no good for the spiritual matters. When you're fainting, you need a bottle of faith to the lips of your soul. And that is the message. That is the title this morning. Shortly we'll be going to Psalm 27. At the top of Psalm 27, it says, my heart shall not fear. It's a psalm of David. It's experience of life. And in verses 1 to 3 are verses of confidence in his God and love for communion with God in verses 4 to 6. Verses 7 to 12, he goes to prayer and finishes with power and faith and encourages others and not just himself. You see, he overflows. David is filled by the time he has finished Psalm 27. And when David is filled and he's put the bottle of faith to the lips of his soul, he overflows, he overspills, his cup runneth over, and he encourages others. That's a lesson from the psalm. So David's experience is the confidence, prayer, and communion with God equals faith to stop the faint. That is David's experience. That is David's life experience in Psalm chapter 27. Put the bottle of faith to the lips of your soul to stop the faint. But we're going to start at the end of the chapter and all will become clear why. We're starting at the end. We're going to go to verse 13 of the Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27, and we're going to go to the verse 13. Let's turn to it. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had fainted unless I had believed. That's faith. To see the goodness of God in the land of the living. If the Lord blesses on this earth, well and good. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord can do what he wants. And that's what David is saying. If the Lord blesses here on earth, well and good. But he says we must believe to see. That's different. We must believe to see and not see to believe. That is faith in action. That is faith in action. We must believe to see the Lord move. And David's focus is not on the flesh. David's focus is not on the material. David's goal is higher than that. David's focus is the focus of the eternal matters of his Savior and his Lord. And he believes to see. He believes to see. That is what David is saying. In verse 14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David says, wait twice. Wait, wait, I say. David says, from my experience, it is good to wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is good. It's testing. It's hard to wait. Sometimes you don't want to wait. But David says twice, wait. I say, wait on the Lord. Why does he say it? Why should we heed David? Why should I heed him? Because of his life experience. That's why I should heed him. David has been there. David has got the t-shirt. David knows what he's talking about. And I think it's wise to listen to what David has to say. I think it's wise to listen to somebody who has been there and who has done it. Who knows? Who knows? Why should we heed him? Well, let's look at his life experience of David that stopped him fainting. What stopped the faint? He waited at God's door in prayer. He waited at his feet in humility. He waited at the table with service. And he waited at the window with expectancy. That's what David did. And David says, you do the same. Wait in prayer. Wait in expectancy. Wait at the window. Wait in service. And see, when you're waiting, be humble. Be humble while you're waiting. A broken and a contrite spirit is what the Lord requires. To take the broken vessel and fill it to overflow for his glory. That's what the Lord requires. Our elder, no coincidence at the table. No coincidence that Andrew Steele was broken yesterday. Because it matches with the word. The Lord makes no mistakes. The Lord makes no mistakes. But what do the prophets say about waiting? Let's go to Isaiah 25. Isaiah chapter 25. Verses 8 and 9. What say the prophets? What say Isaiah? He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. It's going to happen. It shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in our salvation. Wait. Isaiah says with David. David says wait. Isaiah says wait. Wait for your salvation. It is good to wait on the Lord. What does Micah say? In Micah 7 and 7. What says the prophet? Micah 7 and 7. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will look unto the Lord. Don't look unto me. Don't look unto the church. Don't look unto the denomination. Don't look unto flesh. Micah says, I will look up unto the Lord. And what does he say? Therefore will I look up unto the Lord. I will wait. For the God of my salvation, God will hear me. David says, wait. Isaiah says, wait. Micah says, wait. I think it's wise to listen to the prophets of Christ. And I think it's wise to listen to a man who has been there, got the T-shirt, knows what he's talking about. I will listen to the prophets. Because the prophets were in tune with Christ. And I want to be in tune with Christ. Can I say respectfully, I don't want to be in tune with any flesh. And I mean that respectfully. I want to be in tune with Christ. And I will wait and I will listen for what he has to say. It is wise to listen to David. It is wise to listen to Isaiah. It is wise to listen to Micah. And their wisdom says, wait, I say, on the Lord. You won't be disappointed if you wait on the Lord. You're here this morning and you're spiritually dry. The needle's in the red and you're running on empty. You're maybe physically done as well. You're feeling tired. Spiritual exhaustion. Physical exhaustion. And you put the two of them together. And you're struggling. You walked in here this morning. You smiled. You shook hands. You sat on your seat. And the needle is in the red. Both spiritually and physically. David and the prophets say, wait on the Lord. He's no disappointment. Wait on the Lord. Verse 1. Now we'll go to the start. Since we've started at the end. That might sound strange, but you'll see why. You're here this morning, you're struggling, brother. You're struggling, sister. Your needle's in the red. You've got physical ailments. You're spiritually done. Wait on the Lord and look up. He's no disappointment. Let's read the first verse of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Question. For the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? My light, the source of wisdom and hope. Micah 7 and 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light unto me. He is light. Christ is light. It's personal. David says, he's my light and he's my salvation. People say to me, you're saved, is it not good? I say, yes, that's fantastic and praise the Lord. But there's more. He's mine. He's mine. He's mine. He's my light. He's my salvation. He's mine. It's personal. I have a relationship with Christ. I have an intimate relationship with Christ. He's mine. You're saved. Yes. But he's my light. He's my salvation. You see, David flips it. And David understands that he has an intimate relationship with God. He's my light. He's my salvation. Christ is mine. I am in him and he is in me. David gets it. This is the life experience of David. He's my light. He's my salvation. He's mine. The light found you in the darkness, but it didn't leave you there. He leads us into salvation. After that, he is our joy. He is our comfort. He is our teacher. He is our redeemer. He is our Lord and friend. He is our Passover lamb on the tree, bearing away my sin. Far as from the east is from the west, and I will be led into his eternal glory of his kingdom and his presence, and I will behold him face to face. He is mine. He is mine. I am his, and he is mine. He is light. He is salvation. He is my Savior. Now, you get the mindset of David, and you get the heart of David, and now you can see why David doesn't faint. In Psalm 27, he puts the bottle of faith to the lips of his soul, and he understands the power that is his through his Savior, the power in his life. David doesn't lead a defeated life. He's my confidence is in Christ, my light and my salvation, and he is my strength. He is mine and I am his. John 18 and 12. John 18 and 12. Sorry, John 8 and 12. John 8 and 12. The Feast of the Tabernacles. The Light Feast in Jerusalem. And they're remembering the pillar of fire that led them by night through the wilderness and the cloud by day. And he stands in the middle of them. And they're all in their wee booths with their lights on. And he stands in the middle. And in John chapter 8, and verse 12, he says this. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. They're in their booths. Their lights are on. They're remembering the deliverance from the wilderness. They're remembering the pillar of fire. And he stands in the middle and he says, I am the light. It's me. You're remembering. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I have the light of life, and I've news for you. You can't buy it. I have the light of life burning within my soul, imputed by Christ. Put there by Christ. I have the light. He is the light of the world. Acts 4 and 12. Acts 4 and 12. He is the light. Neither is there salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven. There is no other name under the heavens given among men. There is no other name whereby we must be saved. He is light. He is salvation, and there's none other can do it. There's no one, or nothing, or no flesh can put the light of Christ into your life and claim salvation over your soul. There's none other, only Jesus of Nazareth. David's on the right track. David's full of grit. David's full of backbone. David's full of power and authority. But it doesn't come from David, because he's just a flashy vessel like me. It comes from the power source. Are you plugged in to your power source? Are you plugged in? Are you plugged in? Are you tuned in? And are you switched on? Because if you are, there'll be no fainting. You might feel a bit faint. You might feel a bit weak. But you'll never faint when you're plugged in to the source of your power. He won't let it happen. I'll be tested. Yes, I will be. But it's good. Because he's pruning the branches. That has to go. Get rid of that. David is tuned in. David is plugged in. David will not faint in Psalm chapter 27. Whom shall I fear, he asks. Whom shall I fear? My salvation rests not on flesh. There's no flesh can save my soul. There's no priest. There's no Allah or Buddha can save the soul. None can save but Christ alone. My salvation rests not on flesh, but on the authority of the babe in the manger, the boy in the temple, the lamb on the cross, and the seated high priest in his glory. That's who saved my soul. Salvation is found in none other. Salvation is in none other. Only Christ. No one can claim it. No one can do it. Only the Lamb of God. Fact. All the rest say, do this, do that. Christ said, it is finished. And he hung on that crucifix, on that cross. And he bled and he died for me. And he's not dead. He's alive. And he's coming back for me. Because what he started, he said he'll finish it. Hello? He'll finish it. He didn't start it and not finish it. He'll finish it. I believe it. I receive it. That's how I don't faint. That's how David didn't faint. He believed and he received light, salvation, and strength. There's a threefold cord, brother and sister, of a divine completeness over your life. Light, salvation, and strength. And it cannot be broken. It might be tried and tested, but it cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. Whom shall I fear? That question David asks for now, in the present, in Psalm 27, and the future. Whom shall I fear, he says. In verse 2 of Psalm 27. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. That's an interesting verse. A very interesting verse. There's a threefold there. There's the wicked. There's the enemy. There's the foes. Came upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. The wicked. Who is he talking about that is wicked? He talks about the wicked. He talks about his enemies. He talks about his foes. And you know your enemies and you know your foes, but who is the wicked? Who is David referring to when he talks about the wicked? I'll tell you who he's talking about. He's talking about his own brothers and his own sisters in Christ. That shocked you. You wouldn't see that coming. That's who he's talking about. And he says, I know my enemies. I know my foes. But he says, you should know better. And he says, you're wicked. You're a thorn in the side of my flesh. And you're wicked. Silence. Silence in God's house. That's who he's talking about. You should know better. I have enough enemies and foes without you at my side. and he says, you're wicked. Even my enemies and my foes. David remembers there were many of different sorts, many different groupings, many different sorts, but it's not hard to unite them because they all hate Christ. And if they hate Christ, they'll hate the followers of Christ. Expect it. Expect it. They're all united. They can all unite around one thing. We hate God. And if they hate God, they'll hate you and they'll hate me. Expect it. Many different types, many different sorts, but they can all unite around that one thing. Very funny, isn't it? They all get around it. They all get around it. To eat up my flesh, to feast on his destruction. That's what they wanted to do. But you know what David says? And this is important. The enemy of our souls are not lacking in ferocity. The enemy of your soul is not lacking in ferocity. So what's his response? This is his response. They yield no quarter, and no quarter should be given. Listen, you're not a doormat. You're not a doormat. David says, my enemies, and he's talking from experience, many battles, and he says, you see this foe on the hill here? And he's with the Israelite army, and he says, you see this foe? They'll give you no quarter. They'll yield you no ground, and they'll show you no mercy. And you know what he says to the army? Neither will you. And better still, neither did God. Many battles David went into, and what was the result? The enemy was obliterated. You see, they're not fighting David. They hate God. You remember that. If they're coming against you, they hate God. That's why they're coming at you. And God says, hands off my people. You show your enemies, and you give your enemies no quarter in spiritual matters. You say to me, Glenn, that's very harsh. No, it's not. Because you see, if you do, you'll faint. If you give the devil room in your mind, if you give the devil room in your life, you're going to faint. And David says, give them no quarter. Give them no ground. That's how you need to fight your spiritual battles. That's how David did it. That's how David did it. Yield no ground to the enemy in your mind. Not an inch. Not an inch. Could you tell the children, please, to come on? We'll finish with verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. A host, an army, but I'm confident. I'm secure. I'm trusting. David's confidence comes from past experience in his God. David's at the front line with the Israelite army. It's nighttime. He's at the campfire and he's warming his hands. The messenger comes and he says, David, the host, the enemy's on the brow of the hill. David looks up and looks at the host, standing with their torches, standing armored to the teeth, hundreds of thousands of them on the brow of the hill. David turns back to his fire, warms his hands, and then he looks up. That's how confident David is in battle. Because Jehovah is with him. You say to me, how can he be so confident? Let's go to Psalm 24, 8, 9, and 10, which David wrote himself. This is a man of experience. How can David look at the brow of the hill and there's hundreds of thousands and they want to destroy him? They want to eat him up like a feast, and all of Israel. And David turns and warms his hands and turns back and looks to God. How can you have so much confidence? Well, he wrote the psalm himself. Let's look at it. 24, 8, 9, and 10. This is in David's head as he looks at the host. This is in David's head as he warms his hands at the fire. This is in my mind. As I go from day to day in my life, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He wrote it himself. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, pause and think. He is the Lord of hosts. He is Lord over all. David wrote it. David knows it. David lived it. David believed it. And that is why in verse 13 and verse 14, there's no fainting, because David has a bottle of faith and he just drinks it in. I'll leave it there. Listen, whatever you take from this morning, whatever you take from this morning, if you're running on empty spiritually, if you're running and you're physically feeling tired, spiritually empty, physically tired together, if you read and you study that chapter, Psalm 27, and go deep into the psalm, there'll be no fainting. I'm not saying you won't feel tired. I feel tired. I'm not saying you won't be spiritually weak. There's times I feel spiritually weak, but I'll tell you this. There'll be no faint. You get yourself into Psalm chapter 27, and you go deep, and you feed on that chapter. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you all. God bless you all this morning, and thank you. Thank you for listening.